Everybody, so glad you're here for our. We're going to do tonight. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some carols. They're going to sing them for us and to us, and you can sing along with them. They're going to read some scriptures. We'll have scripture reading, and right after that, then we'll go right into our candlelight service. But I just want you to sit down in the middle of this season when everybody's running here and there doing what you do. And just sit down and relax and enjoy the scriptures, enjoy the word, enjoy the songs. Would you do that? You can have a seat right now. And we're going to get right on with our service. But I want to remind you, just stay in an attitude of love and worship and celebration for Jesus. Because if he wasn't here, we would have no need to celebrate. You know, when Rick and Jamie went to be with the Lord on November 9th, it was in November and Christmas was coming. And I would look ahead and dread that I would do Christmas without them. And it would be Sarah and I. And when I thought that, the Holy Spirit comforted me on every turn. And one of the things he said is, they were not the reason for the season. I mean, he talked to me like I was a grown-up. Not like a child. He said, now when you were a child, you thought like a child, talked like a child, acted like a child, but now you're a grown-up woman. So I can tell you, it is not about Rick and Jamie. This season isn't. It's about my son. It's about Jesus. And you know what? If you've lost a loved one this year, I know that. I know it doesn't sound harsh. It sounds reasonable and good. We have something to celebrate. Now, you can celebrate them on their birthdays. It's about them. And you always will love them and miss them. But I'll tell you, Jesus is the reason, absolutely, for this season.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so
Chapter 2, 13 through 15. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us."
Angels, we have heard see. Kairosis Deo. Oh, 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 yeah. In excelsis Deo.
Luke 2:16-20. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Silent night, holy night, holy.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and have come to worship him." When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, a yonder breaks, a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, now.
You know, the book of John told us, behold, there's the light of the world. And then Jesus said about us, he said, you are the light of the world. And I want to say tonight, you and I are just like the moon. We have no light of our own. You know, until we found Jesus, we were living in darkness. There's people all over the world living in darkness tonight. You can drive the streets of Porterville. You'll go to work next week and meet people living in darkness. You'll see people, your own friends and family, that will be in your home at Christmas, and some of them could be in darkness, where all they have to do is find the light of the world. Let me read to you something, and then we'll go right into our candlelight. But I want to read you something out of Isaiah 60. And Isaiah 60 is what we founded our church on. And I've talked to you about this so many times. But tonight, I think it would be so appropriate for me to bring this right here tonight on this Christmas night. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Jesus had not come yet, of course. This was a couple of thousand years before he was born. And Isaiah said this, because they were so looking for him to come. One of the Christmas carols said, his light has come. And we say his light is come. No, his light has come. They were saying, oh no, he already came. And so Isaiah here is looking forward to his coming, but you and I look back to his coming. I'm so glad we're on this side of it, that we look back to the coming of the Lord. We look back, we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord, but we look back to the cross, we look back to the birth, and we are celebrating what Isaiah told us about here. Listen to this. This is why you and I are going to get to celebrate a candlelight service tonight. In fact, the Proverbs tells us this, that a man's spirit is the candle of the Lord. And yet it says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Now, I don't know about you. I like to have a lamp at my feet. Now, in the middle of the night, if I get up sometimes, I'll just do this with my phone, and it just gives me a little bit of light. I don't want to wake up with a lot of light, but I do that. It gives me a little light. That's not going to shed a big light. But I need the lights on. If I really want to see something or do something, then you turn all the lights on, and then you have light, and then you've got a light to your path. But how many of you would say tonight, thank God for the light that I have for the path, the one that shines through me to others? Amen. So Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 60 and verse 1. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, he was actually talking about Jesus Christ and didn't even know who he was, didn't even know what his name would be. He knew that the government would be upon his shoulders. Isaiah is the one who prophesied that in Isaiah 9:6. The government would be on his shoulders. He would be wonderful, and he would be a counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. That's who he would be. But Isaiah didn't know him to be the Lord. He didn't know him to be a light. But he says this, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then he goes another direction. It's just like Isaiah is looking between the Old Testament and the New, right there in that silent 400 years. And he says this, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That is so powerful. It's so true. It's some of my favorite scripture reading in the entire word. When darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness is all over the people, he said, Lord, that's when you're going to be seen. And sure enough, when Jesus was born, it lit up the entire sky. The angels, one angel first, and then it had a whole host of angels singing. And when Kathy and us, well, I probably told you this, when we were in Israel, the bus driver, we were just driving down a highway, and the bus driver stopped right in the middle of this thoroughfare. And he said, I want you all to get out and walk across this busy street, but be really, really careful, because it's real busy out here. Well, we walked across, and he said, this is the field where the shepherds saw the angels in the sky. I wouldn't take anything for that time. And it was a silent night. Oh, it wasn't a holy night to them, not yet. But it was totally dark. But the world was dark. The world was very, very dark. And Isaiah said, arise, shine, your glory is coming. I want to tell you guys something. In 2020, you and I know we were witnesses. We saw darkness cover the earth. I mean, it was just like a black cloud of darkness covered the entire globe. Shut things down. But the church arose because God has healing in his wings. Because he arose, we still stand. And we go forth and we survive that. But I'll tell you, it says when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness of people, and gross darkness is upon people, it's so wild and crazy today. We can't even fathom the things that we're hearing, the gross darkness that's upon people on this earth today. That's when the glory was seen. When Jesus died, it shook the entire earth. There were three hours of total darkness when he died. But there was darkness before he died. But when he came out of that grave, believe me, something else happened. Broke the dateline when he came. So I want to tell you today, if there's a secret compartment of darkness in your heart, there's some darkness you just can't seem to get out of, I want you to know, when Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, your light has come," he wasn't just talking about the Lord. Yes, it was, but this word is so powerful, and it just reaches, as the song says, it reaches to the highest mountain, it reaches to the lowest valley. And it reaches to every person. It's not just for one or the other. Oh, if you only knew what I did. No, it's to all of us. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory has risen upon you. And then, and I love this. He says, and the Lord will rise over you. See, when you got saved, when you gave your heart to Jesus, what happened? The Lord rose over you. And we're just like the moon. We have no light of our own. Until we get in his presence. And we have that light in these earthen vessels. We're just old treasure. We're just old broken vases. But he said you have a treasure in those vessels. Those earthly vessels. And that light somehow gets through us. You know, and you know it does. You run on to people every day downtown. Maybe not every day. Maybe you're not out there. But you'll run on to people frequently. And they need your light. They just need it. They need your smile. They need a word. They need a prayer. Because Jesus has risen upon you. That's what we have available to us. He says his glory will be seen upon you when? When it's the darkest in the world. When it's the very darkest. That's when his glory is seen. And I'm telling you, his glory is being seen on the church more now. And there's more to come. At one point, he says, arise, Lord, to the brightness of your rising. There is a brightness to his rising right now. It's like the sun coming up in the east. Just like that. When that sun rises, you look over those mountains. And you can't look directly into the sun. It's so bright, but everything else fades away if you're there looking at it early in the morning. But I want to tell you, when that sun rises over you, get back over there to him now. Get back over there and get that light that will brighten your way. Not just be a little lamp to your feet. Then it says the Gentiles, the heathens. The Gentiles were heathens. Heathens in your family. Sometimes heathens in your family, they'll be drawn to anybody but you, another family member. It's going to be somebody else. But you know who it's going to be? It'll be a Christ-like person that has the same light. The same light I have, you have. And when we get in his presence, it's like the moon. The moon's just out there. Well, we can't see it tonight because it's raining and cloudy. But we see the moon, especially when it's full and it's so beautiful. And you look out in your dark yard and you'll just see light all over because the moon is full. Only because the sun is shining somewhere else and shines on it. It's the only reason that you and I have any right to shine. The Gentiles will come to our light and the kings to the brightness of his rising. Amen, amen, amen. Before we go, I want to do one more thing. I want to read to you from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Gabby, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me. Out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth, and the remnant of the brethren shall return to the children of Israel. We'll just stop. Because the part I wanted you to see is this, because all of this pertains to us. Jesus did not just put these words here just to have words, but yes, it was dated for him. It was dispensational for him, but it's for all of us where we are right now. As Peter said, it's to you and your children and your children's children and to those who are afar off and to all of those who are called of God. So all these blessings come down to us. And so we said, Bethlehem, I see you. We were in Bethlehem. It's just a tiny little place. Israel's about the size of Tulare County, a little bigger. And yet people come from all over the world, just like he said it would. He said, oh, Bethlehem, you are little among thousands. We see the maps. You can't even hardly find Israel. So little. You are so little among the thousands of Judah. But out of you shall come to me the one to be the ruler of Israel. And his goings forth will be from everlasting to everlasting and always. What is that saying to us tonight? With this light that you and I have received. John said, I'm not the light. I've come to bear witness of the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He knew he was the light of the world. But when you see that it says you, Bethlehem, oh, you're so little among the thousands. And maybe tonight you feel in your heart that you're so little and maybe insignificant where you are at work or socially. Maybe, you know, like Jesus and his family, there was no room in the inn for them. It hurts me. You'll see kids go to school and they don't feel like there's any room for them socially at school. People feel like there's no something. One lady told me today. She told me she didn't feel like there was room for her in her church. My little ones were with me. They said, Grandma, why didn't you invite her to our church? I said, honey, I'm a pastor here in Porterville. I could not invite her from another church. But I ministered to her that she had to follow her heart. And I said, what are you feeling inside? So I'm just saying, church, God gives us things. Now, see, what I was saying there is she felt insignificant. She felt there was no room for her there. Maybe you feel there's no room for you. Jesus knew what that was, but there was someone that made room for him. It doesn't matter how little, how you feel when Jesus is the light of the world. He comes right there where we are, and that's all I'm going to say because you know what? He has the word for us tonight. And he is altogether lovely. He has it all. And I want you to stand with me tonight as I've asked these guys. We've got so many lights in this building. We've got more lights tonight than we've ever had before. So it's not probably possible to turn them all off. But I've asked some of the guys if they can turn off as many as they can. And if you all will get to your places. And we'll start turning them off. How many got a flashlight when you came in? John said in the book of John that there was a light, but the darkness did not comprehend the light. You can turn my light off too up here if you can. I don't know if you turn that off from up there or back here. Gosh, you guys got them all off. Whoa. Wow. Okay. All right. Can we get this one off too? There we go. All right. That's pretty good. All right. Don't turn your light on yet. What do we want? As much darkness as we can get. And that's the only time I'm going to say that. We don't want any darkness. But how many of you have been here? If you can say, man, do you remember being in a place like this? I remember when I was in anxiety and fear, and I didn't know what it was. It was fear and depression, anxiety. It was like this. It looked like this. I didn't know what to do with it. There's people out there away from us tonight But I'll tell you, if you have any ounce of this in your heart, Jesus said, in me there is no darkness at all. There's none. And he said, if you have fellowship with me, you have no business running with darkness. So look, you guys, you have to be careful when you're a Christian. When you're walking in the light, you don't need to walk with anyone who's walking in darkness. Very, very dangerous for you to do. Well, Isaiah saw it coming. Isaiah said, arise, shine, your light has come. And one day you got saved and I got saved and we were all in this darkness. And you know, remember this, this isn't anything you don't know. But darkness never overrides the light. It never does. Light always overrides the darkness. It always will. So do not be intimidated tonight by any kind of darkness that tries to surround you, like worry or stress or financial stress, any kind of bondage. Don't be moved by it, because it's a lie. I'm just telling you, it is a lie. It cannot override light. But light overrides darkness. And if you don't believe it, I'll start right now. Keep your lights off right now for another minute or two. But John says the darkness didn't comprehend the light. No, it just doesn't get it. It wants to keep us there. But it doesn't matter where you are. I remember when I was a little girl traveling to Texas in the car over and over. And in the darkness, if there was a lighted or a city way out there that had lights, you could see it. So tonight, how many can see that? Now, we're not using candles tonight because we'll tell you if you want to know. I'm not going to bring that up tonight. But you see this? Look how much light it's put. This little light puts out a lot of light. All right, now I want you, Dee, to light your light. And then the one behind you, just come on, just light right next to your neighbor. Not yet. Just go right next to your friend. All right, keep going, you guys. Shine it next. As soon as your neighbor gets one on, put yours on. Put yours on, Linda. Next door neighbor. As soon as your neighbor gets one on, put yours on. Come on, all the way across the church. There you go. There you go. There you go. All the way across. All the way across. Look at this. We're getting more and more light here. And all we've got these little tiny lights. This is how it was when Jesus came. And John said, behold, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Look at this. More and more. I'm seeing your faces now. Can you see me? Can you see this? Look at that. Is that beautiful? Those precious, precious people that paid the price for us. Look at them. Clear it back in the sound booth. Please, everybody back, get your lights on for us. Yeah, turn around and look. Is that beautiful? Okay, so we got our light on, and we're real happy with that. And I began to come out of that depression, and you came out of where you were. And you got saved. And we've all got a story. If you want to tell your story tonight, where were you when you got saved? One brother tells me he was in the back of a CHP car. He got arrested for drunk driving. He got saved in that back seat. I remember a brother said, I was saved in the hospital. I think Linda was saved in the hospital, about to lose her life. Her husband, my brother at her side. Oh, we've all got our stories. But all of a sudden, things begin to grow. You begin to learn. You begin to go to church. And you met Jesus and you took him as your Lord. This is our little light. But look what happens when he shines on it. Lights, come on. If we can get them all on at once. Get all the lights on back there, please. Everything, everything, everything. Woo! This is where we live, folks. This is what we live in. Every day we live in light. We can see where we're going. We have somebody to talk to pray to. We have a comforter that comforts us. The Bible says no weapon formed against us will prosper. And the Bible says, Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help. Where? In time of trouble. You've got this in you. So, Father, we're thanking you tonight for the light that is risen. Isaiah said, arise, shine, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And Lord, we receive that light tonight. We're going to sing that, oh, come, let us adore him as we leave. And we will adore him. But Lord, thank you for the light. Thank you that we can call upon you night, day, or in between. That your love reaches to the highest mountain, the lowest depths, the lowest valley. And your blood comes to heal. Come on and lift up the name of Jesus. Would you lift up both hands as we sing, oh, come, let us adore him. Look at the beautiful lights all over the place. Glory to God. Glory to your name. Come on, let's worship him together.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh,
turn to somebody around you and say, he's worthy of our celebration. He's worthy to be praised. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Well, this concludes our service tonight. Thank you all for being here. Merry Christmas. Hope to see you Sunday morning at Christmas Eve service. So be here with us as we celebrate our Lord, the light of the world. Miss Kim, always good to see you. God bless you. To all of you, Merry Christmas. And to our guests, God bless you guys back there. So good to see you again today. God bless. Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his countenance toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you. Amen. God bless.